This is Inanda Joy.
And I'm Valerie.
And we welcome you
to the practice of living from your heart
while finding oneness in duality.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Ding!
And the angels sing. Our first podcast. Dun da da da. Are you so excited?
Well, honestly, yes. And I'm nervous too.
I know. This has been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
So it's like finally sitting down because our coronation is giving us more time. So we're taking advantage. And I don't know for you, but I have felt more creative in this space. Have you had?
You mean during the coronation?
Yeah, with being home and like.
Well, that's my life. Honestly, nothing's really changed in my life from normal other than I don't have clients coming in like normal.
Come on, the outside feels quieter. Wouldn't you agree?
Honestly, in my little bubble, nothing's changed.
Oh, I feel like things are quieter. The planet
for sure.
is quieter.
For sure. Yes, absolutely. I'm just saying.
I'm right. You're wrong.
Okay. You're right. I'm wrong. In my daily life, like my daily routine, I work from home. My commute, to use my partner's words, is from my bedroom to my office. That's a pretty cool commute.
That is an awesome commute. You know? And I've been working from home, too, for a while. Mm-hmm. But something about this, and I think, too, maybe having my kids at home. I don't know. There's something that just feels really, for me, I know a lot of people are in fear, but for me, it's been a very sweet, sweet time, and I feel more creative energy. But part of this, too, is that I've been practicing surrender. So then even just surrendering to what is now and letting things flow. Okay, mm-hmm. It feels today. You know what? Let's do our fucking podcast.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Oh, you know what is different for me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm giving myself permission to sleep in more.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult for me because I'm just a morning person anyway.
Yeah.
But if I wake up early, just laying there long enough to fall back asleep and feeling fine, or definitely way more Netflix is happening in my life. So that is different. I'm going slower. My pace is slower for sure.
I love it.
More sitting on the couch.
So what are you excited about with doing this podcast?
Ooh, getting to work with you in a creative space. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I love that. I feel the same.
Yeah.
And I feel like you and I all the time, we'll have these conversations for quite a while. We've been, we need to record these because we think we're pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, well, yeah, totally. Well, and it's like we're zero to hero like that, right? We sit down and it's like we're in the deepest conversation from point one.
Yeah.
So.
And it always makes me think, which I love. I love thinking and exploring ideas and thoughts and sharing what we're learning.
Yeah, that's probably one of the things I'm most excited about is I'm so passionate about esoteric ideas and spirituality and how to embody it and how to really be your own individual in it.
Yeah.
And getting into your body, that's my whole work with people is how do you get connected in your body? And it's my practice because I am so cerebral. I am so in my head. A lot of times it's tricky to get out of the mental loop into the feeling body.
Yeah. Well, you are a massage therapist, but you also do cranial sacral. You've been working more with the emotion body, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Psychosomatics.
Okay.
Just how the body is communicating through what we physically feel, whether it's a physical pain or sensation or whatever, something chronic or acute. It's the body, my belief, it's the body telling us what's happening on a deeper level that's ready to come to the surface to be felt and processed and integrated.
Yeah. And so, you were really good about it. In fact, I just had a session with you yesterday that we had some interesting birthing process happening.
Yeah. It's so fun. Some of my clients are very open to go into that piece of it of more
metaphysics.
Yeah, metaphysical and more energetics, and some just really want to come have a good massage, and I'm happy to meet people where they're at. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So what if right now we just do a quick breath exercise just to kind of get us more into our bodies?
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
Awesome. Are you okay if I lead it?
Perfect.
Awesome. So if you're driving, don't close your eyes. If you're not driving, you can close your eyes and get centered into your body. taking big inhales all the way through your body and through your nose, going all the way to your toes and up through your legs, and exhale through your mouth. And now inhale for five counts. One, two, three, four, five. And hold for one, two, three, four, five. And exhale. One, two, three, four, five. One more time. One, inhale. Two, three, four, five. Hold. One, two, three, four, five. And exhale for five counts. How are you feeling? I did this exercise in the beginning of my book because I feel like it brings you kind of calms the nervous system and it does bring you more in body into the here and now.
That's where I would like to stay because I do tend to get in my head.
And I think getting in our heads is fine. It's part of how we're wired, but we can just remind ourselves to take breath throughout when we do start getting into our heads. So finding oneness and duality started months ago for me when I was reading a book, and it was, I can't remember the name of the book, and you and I were both reading it. And it ended up spurring this idea of, let's do a podcast around this, because I've always wanted to do, as I'm stepping into more of a practice of being my sovereign self, which includes speaking, teaching, sharing what I've learned with others to help empower them to find their own inner truth. The podcast was something that's like, holy shit, Val, let's do this. And finding oneness and duality was something that felt like it encompassed so much and is such a beautiful practice to find this, the neutral point, the zero point in duality.
Yeah, for me, it's been a practice for a while since I left my religion of my childhood, of being able to spin out to a big picture. That's what it is for me, is getting out into a big picture instead of the polarity of right or wrong, good or bad. How is this serving the big picture? How is this taking me forward as a person? How is this helping me grow? How is this helping me step out of the box of labels and accept? Really, it's acceptance for me.
Yeah, for sure.
It's acceptance of what is happening and how I can find the gift of what is happening.
Yeah.
So that's been my practice for a while, and I didn't really have a name for it until we were reading that book.
Whatever book it is that we can't remember.
I think it was On a Grandmother of Jesus by Claire Hartsong. Because that is the practice of Christ consciousness. And that's really, in the book she was sharing, that's what Jesus was teaching.
Yeah.
Also finding your sovereign self, also finding your God self, also connecting in with your inner compass, not looking outside of yourself.
Because the oneness is, like you were talking about, is the and.
Yeah, it is the and. Instead of the this or that, I can do this, but not that.
Yeah.
I can be a spiritual person and say the word fuck. It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
It's more the practice of holding center.
Well, and I think it is fascinating how for a long time we've been in a, well, it's dualistic, but it's also a singularity of, I have to be this one thing, which fits in this box. In this one thing. And for me, you and I both grew up Mormon, and there's a lot of things in that Mormon box, especially for women, of how we were taught as a young, at a very young age, what the steps were to progress in our spiritual evolution on this planet.
In a very dogmatic way.
Right.
Do it my way.
But it was very singular, right?
Absolutely. It's linear. That's what I feel duality is very linear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So finding the oneness for both of us, the more we started learning, for me, I started noticing myself saying, and having conversations, especially with you, it's like, you know, yeah, this is really up and it's, I'm bothered by this and I can see da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And you'll start noticing your language will change because you'll start seeing the perspective of both sides and the truth in both sides.
Right.
And so then the practice and part of why we're choosing to do this podcast is having normal everyday conversations. This is up for me and these are the things that we're going through and this is fucking hard or this is beautiful and this is fucking amazing. And where do we sit neutral in it? Where do we find our zero point?
Yeah. That's what I feel it is finding neutral. So you're not pulled into polarity, right?
Yeah.
That is such a tricky practice sometimes because our feelings don't feel neutral, right? When I get triggered, I don't feel neutral at that moment.
Yeah.
And I can go through that process of, okay, I'm going to feel what I feel. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get to the truth of it. Why am I being triggered? Because this is just a reflection of something I'm holding within myself. And so it keeps bringing us back to ourselves, back to the practice of what is it showing me inside that's ready to move, that's ready to be integrated, that is ready to be transformed, really, so that we're not pulled into a polarity.
Well, and I feel like really the one of the big asks that's being had on the planet right now as we're going through the coronavirus and all this stuff that's happening is us turning inward. You know, we're being forced to be at home and have the social distancing, although we have social media and people are still connecting in that way. But really for most of us, especially people that are spinning out in fear, the ask that I have been seeing is for people to go inward and finding their own God self internally instead of looking externally always. And that again is that finding the oneness that sits inside in the heart space. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about how you find, you know, when you get triggered and you go into that heady space or the whatever space, what do you feel like is a practice for you of getting neutral? What have you found that helps?
Well, I feel it's important to allow yourself to feel your feelings, right?
Yeah.
You can't bypass that. So you need to go through that. I'm not going to say need. I feel it's important to go through and feel what you're feeling rather than just saying, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this because the feelings are the felt that they're in the moment, right? Yeah. And then my practice is literally stepping out of what's happening into a big picture. Like all I can say is I step back so I have a really big view.
Are you going into meditation? Changing your perspective.
It's perspective. Yeah, it's perspective. Because if I can only see it from one viewpoint, then I'm in duality. Mm-hmm. But if I can step back and say, okay, here's my viewpoint. This is how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Say it's in conflict with my partner. Mm-hmm. We're pulled into a polarity of right and wrong. I'm right, you're wrong, he thinks I'm wrong, he's right, and all of a sudden the problem's in between us, and we're pulled into a polarity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's this big problem between us, how are we ever going to get on the same side? Mm-hmm. For me, it's to step back and consider his viewpoint, consider his perspective. It's also to step back and look at my trigger and say, this is my trigger, where does it come from?
Right.
He didn't cause me to feel this way. No one can cause me to feel anything. It came from inside of me, from experience or whatever. So if I'm feeling this trigger, I'm feeling this emotion, I take responsibility for it. I can't blame it on him. I can actually bless him, which is part of the practice, for allowing me to have the experience of having that trigger so then I can look at it.
Yeah.
And then I have to take responsibility. What is it that I'm holding? Which part of me is triggered? This pulled up my victim card. This pulled up my child card. This pulled up my prostitute card. And these are archetypes, right? We all have them. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. My little child is saying, that really hurt my feelings and you don't care how I feel. Well, it's not his responsibility to take care of that piece. It's my responsibility. So the practice is to go in and give my child what it needs.
This reminds me of, I had a friend that was talking about, I can't remember where she heard it from, but let's be careful not to judge others as they react from place of their wounding. And most of us, because of our filters and our life experience that we've had, usually will react from that place. So we are reacting from our filters, from our perspective. And that is the key. How do we become better operating humans that come from a heart space is when we can recognize, this is my trigger. When you get triggered, that is an opportunity. It's a huge opportunity and a beautiful opportunity for you to go inward. That trigger is not what the other person did. It's what it created in you. And that is something that has been a huge tool for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know, for obviously absolutely. For you, because you're talking about it.
Well, what it does, it pulls you out of victim. Mm-hmm. You know why? Is because if you're taking responsibility for something and you have the ability to change it,
right,
you're not giving anyone else power over you.
And this goes into the fact that we are creating our realities all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you want to create this reality right now? I just got triggered by my partner. How do I want to react to it? Okay, I'm going to step back.
Well, to me, it's a difference of when if I react, then that is not a conscious place. That's a trigger. And the trigger usually comes from an unconscious place.
And let's be fucking real for a minute. We react.
Well, absolutely.
We totally react.
Absolutely. And I'm just saying.
You are one of the most amazing people. This is why we're such good friends. At looking at, being able to step back and look at your stuff. And I feel like I'm pretty good at it too. But especially when it comes to our romantic partners, oh fuck, I get not triggered all the time, but you know, they drive you crazy sometimes. And
well, partnerships are the best way to grow. So that's their function.
Is this why I've been married 4 times?
I'm not answering that. That's all you can, you're the only one that can answer that.
So when you were talking about your feelings and how important it is to feel them, I feel like that's something that I want to accentuate a little further. When I was 19, I was, I will say, misdiagnosed as bipolar, but it was a label that I carried for years. And so my emotions were something that were very, it was very wrong, right? This was something's wrong with you. We're going to give you medication. And for my parents, it gave them a lot of peace because now there was a label to understand why their daughter didn't want to go to church, why she, you know, was moving out of the house.
Probably emotional, right?
Yes.
You probably had a lot of emotion.
Well, and at that time in my life, you know, I grew up in Orem, Utah and was Mormon and it didn't identify with me. And I'm 19 years old and
wanting to be independent.
Yeah, and trying to find out who the hell I was. And I had a therapist, God bless her, a couple years later that said to me that it's looking in the mirror syndrome, where you look in the mirror and you see your reflection of who you feel like you are, and then you also see the reflection of who you're told you should see. And it's kind of this dualistic as we're talking, and you bounce, especially as teenagers, this can happen, where they bounce back and forth. Well, who the hell am I? And I don't know. And so I'm going to go, you know, anyway, I'm getting on a total tangent, but for years and then having babies and having, you know, I did suffer with depression and had some pretty dark places. And in some of my experiences, the partner that I was with would mock me, you know, mm-hmm. and tell me that it wasn't, you know, it's just all in your head, and would make little of how I was feeling. And so I've always, throughout most of my life, and even in Mormonism, you know, you're not, as a woman, at least in my, and you, maybe you had the same experience as I did, but anger, some of these emotions, you do not feel them. You don't show them. You don't, you know, you suppress them. Crying was a sign of weakness for me growing up. So all these, just the breadth of emotions has been something that for me for years, it's like, oh shit, as I start feeling it, I would put walls up and resistance. But what I've noticed for me, and I've done a lot of work around all of this, but the last few days, I feel like what I've noticed is this allowing, as I've felt, because I have migraines, I have physical pain. And something that's been really cool for me to notice is as I am feeling these energies or these emotions coming in, a few days ago, it was heaviness on the planet. I could feel it coming in. And normally I would resist it because it triggers some things from my childhood. And this time I brought it in. I'm like, all right. And I imagined it coming over me like a blanket, and I brought it all the way in, and it did nothing. It was not even a thing. And had I resisted that and a few other things that I've experienced, it would have been blocked. It would have created a headache or nausea or irritability, or I feel depressed instead of just this place of accepting and allowing. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I feel like, especially as women, it's okay to feel our emotions. And I think the trick is going through it, not getting stuck in the middle, because sometimes, I don't know if you have know people that can get stuck in the middle of, I'm depressed and I want to stay here forever, because then that means somebody's taking care of me, and I have an escape, an excuse not to do anything.
Yeah, and I feel it's not identifying with them. Like, instead of saying, I am sad, I'm feeling sad right now.
Right.
Because it is an emotion, and it can affect your state of being. But the more you identify with something, the more you become attached to it.
Yes.
And so if we can allow our emotions to flow through, to feel them, but not identify with them, and language is a really important piece of that. Mm-hmm. I've, over the years, practiced language, because language is creative. So that's one of my tools, is to catch my language. And I am is one of the most creative statements we can make. Mm-hmm. It is God language. So instead of saying, I am sad, I am feeling sad, because it's a state, like it's moving through, but it's not identifying yourself as a sad person.
Right.
Unless, yeah. I mean, that could be true.
It could be true. And there again is that pendulum swing.
And it's both. It's always both.
And in everything that we're saying, it's not, I want to stress that it's never diminishing anybody's experience. These are personal experiences that I'm sharing, that Valerie's sharing, and the truth that we have found for ourselves, in hopes that, you know, maybe it sparks some new idea or new thoughts within you. But it's never to devalue anybody's experience, because everything is exactly the way it should be.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like allowing emotions to be felt gets you in your body.
Agreed. And it is, I've learned too, it's a tool. Oh, I'm feeling this, and I'm feeling it in this way, and I know what that feels like. I know if I start getting this, it means, for me, I got a migraine triggered the other day because I was in my head trying to figure something out, mm-hmm. instead of going into the heart space, because I'm in a practice of surrender and flow.
Right.
And I was going into my masculine, my programming, which I've done for years and years and years.
Me too.
And it triggered a migraine.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this is why, for me.
Right. It's the practice of getting in your body. And when you allow things to flow through, then it doesn't get stuck. And it doesn't come through as a symptom later on. Or it doesn't come through like a heart attack down the road.
Right.
Because of the broken heart that was never seen or felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even not resisting the pain, that has been hard for me to it's like, all right, I'm going to surrender into this, and I'm going to give it love. And in those moments where you are throwing up and you have pounding headache, and it's hard to do.
Absolutely. Just like it would be, kind of back to my earlier example, blessing your partner for allowing you to see a piece of you that's ready to be integrated, right?
Yeah.
Or at least brought into conscious awareness. That's the first step. You know, that's the first step.
Well, and, you know, as we're talking about this idea of finding oneness in duality, for me, in my practice, that finding oneness in duality and constantly being brought back into, where's the oneness here? How am I the oneness here? Allows my world to radiate in such a different place of peace and harmony, because I'm constantly practicing the oneness. How can I be in the oneness today? How can I be in the oneness today? You know, always asking that question. And actually, my question lately has been, how can I be in service today? Because that's, you know, for me, that's felt more authentic. Mm-hmm. So, this is a practice.
Oh,
Why is that funny, Valerie?
Well, coming from two perfectionists, I don't know. Why would that be funny?
You know, I don't feel like I'd call myself a perfectionist, because I never was throughout school, but there's definitely...
Oh, my God.
You and I butt heads even with starting this podcast.
Well, yeah. No, you and I are a lot alike in a lot of ways, but also very different in other ways. Yeah. It's great. It's really great.
I have been seeing so many feathers lately. Yesterday and today.
Aww.
I have no idea.
The birds are my people.
Aren't books all are my lovers. Creatures your people?
I don't know. I think I was probably a bird in another life. That's where I see my signs, is birds.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
when my dad passed away, I started seeing tons of birds. Mm-hmm. And like we were just talking about, you saw, was it eagle or a hawk?
It was a hawk. It was really cool.
I saw a hawk yesterday too, and I haven't seen one for a while.
Yeah, I see them a lot. This one was, I was driving down the road just asking for like some confirmation for my life because, you know, it's a weird time.
Yeah.
And a hawk was flying like on the ground, and then as my car passed it, it like flew straight up. So its wings were so spread cool. And its belly was bare, and I was like, okay, I'll take that sign.
You got my attention.
Yeah. So I've been working with more goddess energy, and the goddess that it brought in for me was Isis.
With her wings?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's gorgeous.
And I believe I've mentored with Isis in many lifetimes.
I'm sure. I have lifetimes in Egypt. I get pulled to Egypt a lot.
Yeah.
I do. This brings up the asking for signs.
Uh-huh.
When I first started in my spiritual journey, I had someone tell me that you can ask. Now, I want to do a caveat. I do not believe we're never on our perfect path, but because at the time it was show me a sign that I'm on my perfect path. And my understanding now is that you're never not on your perfect path, but sometimes you can kind of, you just are wanting direction. Like you're like, I just need a sign. Mm-hmm. I need some comfort somehow. And it's something that we can and should ask for. I think the veil, quote unquote veil between the worlds is becoming less and less. And there's a magic that is starting to happen as far as how we can play within the worlds. And as shamans, I was teasing with or talking to my shaman yesterday, who's my teacher right now. And I just was laughing to her because shamans, when they do shamanic medicine and are in their medicine, one of the things that shamans are, they dance in between the worlds. You know, they mm-hmm. go to the underworld, the upper world, mm-hmm. and all sorts of places. But right now, in the very physical, literal, we are being asked to go in, like the worlds are becoming so much closer. Have you been noticing?
You say world, you mean dimensions.
Well, it can be world, it can be dimensions. In shamanic practice, you have your underworld, which is like your subconscious.
Yeah.
It's where fractals, your soul, you know, your... Yeah. Anyway, so that's why I'm using that language of worlds, but it could, I mean, like anything, there's an and.
Right.
You know, with language, it can be and dimensions. For me, worlds makes more sense.
So from my big picture view, because that's how I make sense of everything. If there is true oneness, like we are everything and there's nothing outside of us. That's really at the core of it. That's what oneness means, right? Everything is an aspect of us.
Which did this idea bring up your ego self?
Well, a long time ago.
Yes, but as we're talking about this, it's pinging. So I'm wondering if it needs to be talked about.
Okay, but let me just finish.
Are you getting irritated? Am I cutting you off?
Yeah, you are cutting me off.
Shut up.
I was on this really awesome thought.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It pinged.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll circle back.
Okay.
But this is an example of how I get to oneness.
Yeah.
This is how the example of how I bridge duality.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving down the road. This hawk comes up and I go, there's my sign. The hawk is an aspect of me.
Yeah.
It's not outside of me. Right. Mm-hmm. It is in direct response to my God self asking for something.
Yeah.
And it's an aspect of me showing up. Whether it was a hawk or say I find out tomorrow that I don't have any more clients and I've got to find another job. That's still an aspect of me. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's always coming back to the place that nothing is outside of me. Even though we so want to compartmentalize and take this outside of me, because if it's outside of me, then I don't have to be responsible for it.
Yep.
I don't have to claim it. I don't have to do work integrating it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that to me, circling back again, is victim consciousness. If it's outside of me, I'm a victim to it and there's nothing I can do to change it.
It's a little easier. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Blaming something or someone else for our situation is easier and it doesn't fix anything.
Right. So how can I claim it as a piece of me? And how can I empower myself in how I respond to it from a place of empowerment rather than reacting from it in a place of disempowerment? I have no choice about that.
Right.
Okay, that may be true on some level, but I can choose my response to it.
Yes.
Right?
And your holding of it.
Right. So nothing is outside of me. Everything, it's my holographic, life is my holographic projection. Mm-hmm. You are all living in my holographic projection. And I'm a part of all of yours, right?
This is where your brain can start glitching when you go into some of this.
It's like the Matrix, man.
Yeah.
That movie was probably one of the first things that got me going, wait, what? So I'm trying to remember what it was that pinged you.
You were just talking about how the example of the eagle and the hawk.
That it is an aspect of me.
And then it's, yeah, and then I'm a creator of my reality.
I believe I'm 100% responsible for what I pull in, what I experience. I am 100% creator of my reality.
Which makes you a god.
Absolutely.
Makes us all gods.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's what I believe.
I believe that too.
And, okay, how deep do we want to go?
We can go real deep.
Okay. So for me, when I find the same truth in many places, not just one religion or spiritual tradition, but it's across the board.
Yeah.
And I feel it as truth in my body. Mm-hmm. That's when I pull it in. So the belief system that I believe is God. And it's hard to even say God because God, everyone has their own, mm-hmm. own attachment of what that
you
means.
You who are known by a thousand names and yet are the unnameable one.
Right. That the everything, the Alpha and Omega, right? There's nothing that's not contained within that. There's no perspective there. If you are everything and nothing at the same time, there's no perspective to know yourself.
There's no individuality.
Right. Because you are everything and anything, right?
Which then starts blowing the circuits.
Right. I've told you, we're going deep. Mm-hmm. So in order for some sense of perspective, if you will, there is a first separation mm-hmm. into something and nothing.
Yes.
Or into, let's go the human route. God separated into a masculine and feminine part, mm-hmm. not even male and female, but masculine and feminine part. Mm-hmm. From there, then you create masculine and or male and female. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you're getting further, like you're dropping down through these layers of separation from the mm-hmm. whole, the one,
right?
The everything, mm-hmm. right? So as you separate down, you're not losing the essence of what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So if I came from source, I'm just, the best example, and I know it's out there, is what is more, the ocean, a drop, or the entire ocean? Mm-hmm. They're both the ocean.
And they're one Rumi is just, quote.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I view it. I am absolutely source in form. Mm-hmm. One of the things that came through my yoga training is that we're God in formation mm-hmm. or we're God's information. Yeah. We're giving information back to source of one of its aspects.
And source giving information back to us.
Absolutely.
Because I think that that's part of something that for me was lacking for a little bit with mm-hmm. thinking and trying to understand what my definition of God was. And I remember having a friend of mine talking about the ocean analogy. Mm-hmm. If you imagine God, source, energy as the ocean, and at one point, the first thought, whatever that was, decided, you know, we want to expand. We want to have more understanding. And to do that was to create an individuality essence, which could look like taking a cup and scooping a cup out of the ocean, which mm-hmm. now it has somewhat of a container,
right?
Our physical bodies.
Right.
And the ocean and the cup are the same.
Right.
They look a little different,
Right.
And yet they're in communion with one another. But there's a two-sidedness to it. Because for a while I felt like, well, geez, I'm just going through and I'm having these experiences for my own individual expansion, soul level. And I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expanding source energy. But then at the collective level, source is continually expanding, which means then I am also continually expanding.
Well, I believe that source is continually expanding because we are expanding, right?
Yes.
Because if God, and again, using God, maybe source, if source is infinite and it's always changing, that's a Bible verse, right? There's never an end, it's infinity.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? It comes from, I believe, all form of God that's in the illusion of separation continually expanding.
Right.
Right?
And why wouldn't we want to? You know, why wouldn't we want to, as a collective and the oneness, want to continually expand?
Well, sometimes I don't want to.
I know, sometimes. Well, and this goes...
I'm like, really, today? No, not today. Today, I'm just... It's a Netflix day. I'm not expanding.
And you know
today.
What? Those days are beautiful, too. Yesterday, I was like, you know what? I want cheesecake, and I may be emotionally numbing right now, but I am okay with that.
And I don't feel like that's outside of source, honestly.
I agree. It's all aspects. And this yesterday, I was having a conversation around... I was on a walk with a friend of mine, talking about how when I started waking up, and if you could see me, I'd be doing air quotes, waking up, because I kind of hate that phrase. Oh my God, you're waking up. And people would say that to me. And we're talking 8-9 years ago. And I still feel like I haven't woken up. Like, I feel like I'm, like, this is a, it's a process of becoming.
Oh, you're
becoming,
not just woke. Amanda, can we be friends anymore if you're not woke?
You're not woke as, who does that?
You're woke as
woke
fuck.
Woke as fuck t-shirts.
I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding.
But
sorry.
I used to think that, oh my God, I'm choosing out of religion and I'm choosing into more my soul self, my energetic self, my magical self. And one day I am going to wake up, because there are stories of people who just, quote unquote, wake up overnight. And those stories used to fucking piss me off, because I would think I used to.
It's not your experience.
It's not my experience.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it is not anyone's experience. I think I can, on one hand, Byron Katie's one. I know of another friend
Eckhart Tolle.
One of my other friends, all of a sudden, just, well, she had her gifts just kind of blown into her and it blew her circuits for a bit. But anyway, and some people just come into this world with just knowing of
just
who
woke.
They are. Yeah, just woke as fuck.
WAF.
Yes. But I used to think that it was like this plateau. One day I would get to the top of my mountaintop and I could sit there and luxuriate in that space.
Right.
What I'm finding, this is where the oneness, in my opinion, comes. Because even in the state of the world as it is right now, I feel so much calm and peace. And I feel like I am thriving more now than I have my entire life.
Right.
Because I'm in the oneness more than I ever have been. Right. And I feel like there's a permission now, because I do feel like the world is waking up on a global scale of, I could sit here and talk to my angels or my spirit guides or some ghosts that walked into the room, and most people aren't going to be weirded out anymore. Where before, years ago, me talking about, hey, we have to my family, hey, we need to be careful of the energy we carry when we walk in to see my dad who was in a coma, you would have thought I said something satanic just using the word energy.
Right.
So, you know, how beautiful is that? That in, let's see, that's 15 years, so it's still a while. 16 years at 15. It's changed that much in 15 years, which is a relatively short period of time.
Well, what I love is that people would used to say, oh, this woo-woo stuff. I go,
right.
What, you mean my language? Like, it's not woo-woo. And I feel like more and more people, in fact, who was it? I don't know. Someone I was listening to, they're like, this used to be all woo-woo. And now it really is becoming mainstream language where people don't even think twice about it. Some people.
Yes. And I think some people always will, but I think it's becoming lesser and lesser of the population. And instead, this woo-woo is really us stepping into the authenticity of our sovereign selves, our heart selves, our however we're choosing to walk in this world in the beauty path, in the beauty way.
Yep. I mean, and then we could just talk about the whole resurrection of the feminine, the divine feminine, and all that she brings, the goddess energy that's been suppressed for thousands of years. Like, and that's what we're doing, really, is we're using the language of the feminine. And yes, that's why it's considered woo-woo, is because that was what it was cast to be.
And it was, and that has been suppressed and killed. And
well, it was deemed evil, right? Yeah. That was the witch hunt. Yeah. I'm sure I was killed as a witch. And we'll bookmark that for next time. Ding.
So where is the integration piece here of our first podcast? Val, look how amazing we are. We're air high-fiving. Ready?
Boop. With social distancing. Oh. Okay, so my practice has been to find oneness.
I did ask you that question. You never answered.
I was.
And then we got sidetracked.
Yes.
Shit balls.
We're really good at that. Is to take that big step back and to be able to see
the perspectives.
Both sides.
Yeah.
Both sides, and not label right or wrong, good or bad, and just see both sides. And that's a good starting point, because if you can only see one perspective, you're polarized.
Right.
So if we can see both sides, say with the coronavirus, okay, there's deep state that is creating mayhem and wanting to control the population, and there's us over here that are being controlled, and they're both serving.
And somehow, on some level, we chose into this.
And they're both serving a greater good.
Yes. What is the greater good? And that would be the ask. I think the ask is always, how can I see? How can I see both? What's the ask? How can I see both sides? How can I see my partner's perspective?
Yeah.
How can, and sometimes that ask, how can I see, means I got to step away from this for a minute. I cannot respond to you right now.
Yeah, you have to get to a big picture. You have to get to a big picture, because otherwise you can only see one side.
Right.
It has to be. Every time I just say it, I see myself like zooming out.
Yeah. In the shamanic practice, as a shaman, you have perceptual states and you see from different perspectives.
Whoa.
What was that? I have a candle lit here and it just went, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know if you could hear it on the microphone. Blah, 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 and
it flared. The flame flared out of the container, which is this beautiful heart, colorful heart container. It flared.
That was true.
Okay, who's coming in to validate what you just said?
I don't know, but I'll continue speaking. It's funny because there's a part of me.
I gotta watch the candle now.
I know.
Keep going.
There's a part of me that's like, oh, does that mean I shouldn't talk about this? And you know, that's part of that old. And it's like, fear. No, that's such bullshit. And that's I'm not buying into that idea or language. Don't you think that
comes from Mormon temple?
100%.
Yes.
And part of it also is speaking our truth and vulnerability. Like even with writing my story, oh my God, can I write this? And is this okay?
Well, I was gonna say it's bigger than that. It also comes from being women.
Yeah. Yes. And what I was saying, though, as far as perspective, to give a different image, and as a practitioner and a shaman, they see from perceptual states. And one of the perceptual states is actually imagining you can send your energy up, 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 like all the way to source energy, or you could have it just sitting above your head, kind of above your crown, that just allows you to see. There's a phrase called shaman seeing state that actually sits right above your head, and it's still waters. It's calm waters. And when you can get into that space, you're not triggered. You're not in your story of why I'm triggered and why I'm right. Mm-hmm. Because usually that's where we're at. Oh, I'm fucking right. And you are fucking wrong. And yada, 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 yada. So if you can change your perspective, and even you imagine like a ball of light, however you want to see it, sitting above your head, and imagine calm waters.
For me, in the practice of relationship, so I gave the example of being polarized between the partner and yourself with the problem in between you. How do we bridge across the problem so we're both on the same side, on the same team, tackling the problem together? So it's not dividing us, but we're working together as a team with our own perspectives, our own experience, our own beliefs, but we're bridging it into a place where we can work together.
I love that. And that is not always the case, depending on your partner.
Well, yes. Okay.
So I'm just going to put that in there.
Absolutely.
But I feel like going back to the ask of how can I see this from a different perspective and going into those still waters, first stepping into there, how can I see him from that viewpoint? And then I feel like that leads to so much more information, including, can I build a bridge to where the two of us can stand on the same side, like you're saying.
And maybe not.
And it may be no.
It may not be safe to sit on. Oh, there's a hawk right there. It may not be safe. It may not be safe.
Yeah. So that is the ask that we are going to leave you with today.
That's really fucking cool. There's a hawk.
I want to look up hawk meaning now.
There's two hawks circling up in the sky. The sign of the day are the hawks. They actually, well, you were telling me in shamanic that they are the higher perspective, right?
It's eagle.
Oh, eagle.
Eagle is representative of the East. And eagle shows us that we can fly wingtip to wingtip with great spirit. And they come off their mountaintops. Eagles show us because they peck off their beaks. Do you know that? Like, they have crazy long lives because they will go into their caves or whatever their safe place is. And they will live for I don't know how long without food. And they peck off their own. They eat their
beak?
They take it off and then they regrow a new beak because as they age, their beak becomes brittle and it becomes aged and they can't eat. And if they can't eat, they can't continue to live. So they would die. So eagles will choose to go and you regenerate, essentially.
That's pretty cool.
So they show us this life-death life cycle.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Hawk energy. Okay. I feel like we need to bring this into our thing today.
The hawk symbolizes the ability to use intuition.
wait. The first thing that came up. The hawk totem provides wisdom about seeing situations from a higher perspective, using the power of observation, and just a second.
This one says the hawk. Well, there's a picture that says, here's how seeing hawks often may give insight into your life. The hawk symbolizes the ability to use intuition and higher vision in order to complete tasks or make important decisions. Mm-hmm. So it's funny that you saw a hawk when you were asking that question.
When you have the hawk as a spirit animal, you may have an inclination towards using the power of vision and intuition in your daily life. The hawk totem provides wisdom about seeing situations from a higher perspective, using the power of observation and focusing on the task at hand. It's a good companion to develop spiritual awareness.
And for you and I, Val, I feel like the hawk is more of a personal message because today we're actually sitting down and doing, this is our first time sitting down and actually doing this. And it's something we've talked about for a long time. And you and I both came here in it with in a place of fear. Like there was some resistance and a little bit of fear with actually doing this. Mm-hmm. So it is important to know that a hawk, when a hawk crosses your path, that a hawk is a symbol of ability to be a leader in every situation. Mm-hmm. If this bird has really crossed your path, it means it is time to take initiative and lead other people. And I don't like, you and I are very particular with verbiage, the whole idea of leading, whatever, but there is a desire that you and I both have of assisting others to find their truth. And part of it is sharing our experiences.
No, it's empowerment, right? Right. We're just, because bringing you back to the big picture again, the more we're empowered in ourselves, the more we empower others. And the more that other people are empowered in themselves, the more we are empowered because nothing is outside of us.
Well, and I'm going to add one more thing to that, but maybe we'll finish this podcast. Never. Good God. I love, love, love so much the story of, and again, it's a shamanic thing. It's so funny to me because I feel like I'm a shaman and I'm not a shaman all at the same time, but I pull wisdom from there all so often. So there's my caveat. So a shaman always practices being an Aini, which is right relationship with self, which to me is that oneness that's inside that's connected to universal energy from a source aspect and Mother Earth Gaia aspect. Mm-hmm. And there was a legend of a village at the top of these mountains that was solely dependent on their crops for their food, and they were in a drought. Mm-hmm. So they called in a shaman who came into the village, and the first thing she asked was for her own hut. And as she went in there, she stayed there for 3 days. And when she came out on the third day, it started to rain. And the town, the village was, oh my goodness, you know, what did you do? And they were praising her. And she said, your village was so out of Aini that it took me 3 days to get into Aini in this space here. And once I did that, then it allowed for the rains. And the whole imagery for me is, and how I see it, is this reverberation that happens. Mm-hmm. When we're standing in our light, in our sovereign self, in our divinity, it allows for other people to do the same. So as a shaman, if I'm in my Aini, it allows for other people, mm-hmm. like we're talking about. When we do this, it allows for other people to then, it gives them permission on some level.
Absolutely.
Of go be your badass self, whatever that looks like. Make mistakes. Be an amazing person at the same time. Be all of those things and continually progressing.
Yep. I've never heard that story.
Oh, I feel like I've shared that with
you. No, but it was awesome. Thank you.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
That's a great place to end on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Hawk Medicine. Thank you, Aini. How do you say it?
Aini.
Aini.
Yeah. Aini Karpai. Aini is right relationship with self.
Right relationship with self.
Thank you for listening to us today. It's quite humbling to be in this space and to share what I've learned and grown in my medicine.
Yes, me too, honestly. And to be able to share things I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Thank you so much for joining us today and spending some of your valuable time with us. We hope there was something that you gained in your awareness that you can now share into the world. Remember, you are a divine creator. So what are you creating today?
Come check us out on Instagram, Finding Oneness in Duality. We'd love to hear your feedback. We would just love to hear from you. Please feel free to come check us out.
Relationships are two-sided, so come be the other side.
Finding.oneness.in.duality. It's too long.
Thank you so... Okay, you gotta stop laughing. Oh, we even got it.
Okay. Okay. I had to pull that in. Laughter is good for the soul. All right. Squirrel. Okay.